Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
God had plans, a design for your life, for my life. And we can't do anything about our environment. We can't do anything about our DNA. But we can do a whole lot about the choices we made. And a lot of times we made choices that lead us into a prairie chicken kind of lifestyle rather than the lifestyle of an eagle. An eagle is someone who becomes everything God designed that person to become.
The truth is, God made you to soar. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young starts his message, Living Up to Your Potential, and shares how you can do greater things than you ever imagined with God's help. Stick around to hear that inspiring message. Before we get to Dr. Young, it's fair to say we've all been exhausted by the ups and downs of 2020. That's why we want you to know we're praying for you and your loved ones as this unprecedented year wraps up. We're also praying we see an outpouring of support to help The Winning Walk reach a critical $500,000 year-end need by December 31. To help meet this need, a generous friend has offered a $75,000 matching grant. This means that any gift you give today will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to help keep this program going strong. So call now to have your year-end gift doubled and help share the proven truth of God's Word with more people in the year ahead. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Living Up to Your Potential.
There's a story that I just can't forget. An Indian brave was walking under a large high cliff, and he looked down and saw an eagle's egg. And he picked up that eagle egg, and he couldn't climb the cliff to put it back in the nest. So he went and found some prairie chicken eggs, and the hen was hatching them. He took that large eagle egg and put it among all the little prairie chicken eggs. And the mother prairie chicken never knew the difference. So all the prairie chickens hatched, and the eagle hatched, and the eagle just assumed he was a prairie chicken. And he would cluck and scratch and grub for worms and once in a while fly about, you know, a foot or two off the ground, about 10 or 12 yards. And he lived his life, an eagle, but yet thinking he was a prairie chicken. And then about the middle of his life, he looked up one day in the heavens and he saw this bird soaring through the sky with golden wings, catching a wind and whew. And boy, he looked at his buddy and the eagle said, "Look at that, what is that?" He said, "That's an eagle, a changeling eagle. That's the king, the chief of all birds." Said, "Don't you pay any attention, you'll never be able to fly like that." So the eagle just looked up and admired the power, the majesty, and the magnificence of that flying eagle, thinking all the time he was just a prairie chicken, never realizing that he had all the capacity to be the eagle that God had designed. He lived a long time and died. An eagle died. His whole life, he thought he was a prairie chicken. There's a lot of prairie chickens in here today. A lot of us. Prairie chickens. God had plans, a design for your life, for my life. And we can't do anything about our environment. We can't do anything about our DNA. But we can do a whole lot about the choices we made. And a lot of times we made choices that lead us into a prairie chicken kind of lifestyle rather than the lifestyle of an eagle. And by an eagle doesn't mean that we're wealthy or successful or popular or have a whole lot of pleasure, a whole lot of toys. That's not success. That's not what I mean by an eagle. An eagle is someone who becomes everything God designed that person to become. But still, a lot of us are content to being prairie chickens. And God must look down and say, you know, when is she going to wake up? When is he going to come to his senses and begin to make wise choices? Solomon is talking about the fool, and he's talking about the wise. He's talking about folly, and he's talking about good sense. And that's what he's dealing with in this chapter. He's saying, why do you keep on living and acting like a prairie chicken when I designed you for something much, much more than that? Therefore, I trust in this service. A lot of us will make some judgments about my life, about your life. By the way, the most misinterpreted verse in all the Bible is a verse that says, judge not. Have you ever been talking to someone, maybe a son or a daughter or a friend, and you begin to talk to them about what they're doing or what they're not doing, and they'll say, don't you judge me. Don't you know what the Bible says? Judge not. Listen, the Bible does not say judge not. No. That's like saying Judas went out and hanged himself, therefore we're all supposed to go out and hang ourselves. Is that good biblical interpretation? No. And it's not biblical interpretation to say judge not. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says judge not. But we are to judge, and the measure by which we judge, that same metric, that same measure in which we judge others, that's how you and I will be judged. Hello? So when I judge someone and say it is wrong for you to live together unmarried, you say, don't judge me. Well, I'll be judged by that same standard, though I'm not living with anyone and who is unmarried, but let's say that I am not forgiving. I'm unforgiving. Therefore, my sin of unforgiveness will be measured by God the same way I might judge someone who is living without being married. See what I'm saying? We are to judge. We have to judge. We have to use discernment and wisdom, and we have to go to people that we know that are going the wrong way on a one-way street, someone who is getting farther and farther from God. We can see the end of their life, and we go to them in love, and we pronounce judgment, and we say, look, this is wrong. And they throw this scripture at us. We say, look, I know I will be judged by the standards by which I judge you, but I am saying this is my judgment. We judge because we love. We care. So don't let anybody intimidate you, quote a little verse which is totally out of context, say, well, you're not supposed to judge. Oh, yes. But when we do judge, we know that same standards will come back. That's the standard by which you and I will be judged for our sins. And there's no ranking in sin in the Bible. Boy, this sin is a lot worse than that sin. No, no, no. All of it is sin. And therefore, we are prairie chickens, so many of us. And so many of us have lived like prairie chickens. And therefore, we have not been in the judgment business. We have to have some judgment as we look in the mirror and say, you know, how much prairie chicken is in me? How much prairie chicken is in you? How much foolishness, how much silliness. And we look in our scripture and we see characteristics of prairie chickens. When I reviewed this story, I said, you know, this is all about prairie chickens. This is, Solomon is saying all the way through his autobiography, boy, there's a whole lot of chickens running around and you are silly and you are foolish. And he's saying, even using under the sun wisdom, remember, under the sun wisdom, not from above the sun, but human wisdom, you are completely messed up. You are silly. Some translations say you are stupid. You are foolish. So we look at prairie chickens and we say, well, what does a prairie chicken miss? What do they not understand? And we looked at that last week in that verse 11 of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Remember? I again saw under the sun, said Solomon, that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability. Now we read that, if you read it and say, what's he saying? You mean the fastest person doesn't win the race? I'm surprised at that, aren't you? Somebody who has discernment doesn't have food on the table? Man, that doesn't make sense. So what all of these things he's saying, it's Gomer Pyle. Surprise, surprise, surprise. It's topsy-turvy. It's backwards from what we would think. And then we see the reason for that. Remember what it was? He looks over there and he says, clearly the reason for it is time and chance overtake them. In other words, whatever happens in your life, in my life, is determined so many times by timing and by just capriciousness, by chance. And we discovered who runs time and chance? That's God himself. That's the providence of God. An idea whose time has come. Some people have ideas of 20 and 30 years old and they didn't mount to anything back there, but they come back and shazam! That idea now is worth millions of dollars, isn't it? So time and chance can overcome a lot of conscientiousness and will confound us because, going back to the thing, I always thought the fastest people usually win the race, but time and chance can work against them. And then we see the surprise, surprise, surprise. This is all a part of being a prairie chicken. Prairie chickens have a tough time being surprised. They're flighty, they're unsure of themselves, they're erratic, and they're clucking and grumbling for worms, and they have a tough time handling surprises. Surprises come in all of our lives. This past week, I read about a Chinese woman who went to a district province in China, and she saw an advertisement there that a dog was for sale, and she went in and bought what she thought was a Tibetan Mastiff, be a large, large dog. And she purchased this dog, and she took it home, and she noticed, she knew it would be a big dog, a Mastiff, but she didn't know just how big it would be, and that dog began to eat, man, a crate of fruit every day, and just pounds of noodles, and in a little while, the dog weighed over 200 pounds. And she was in her yard one day, and the dog suddenly got up on her hind feet and started walking toward her. And she said, well, wait a minute. And she brought somebody in and discovered it wasn't a dog. It was a Siberian black bear. Surprise, surprise, surprise. True story. I remember a few years back, some ladies got in a car and they drove up the road here to San Antonio. And as they were going back, they looked on the side of the road and they saw there by a little stream, you know, five Chihuahua puppies. And they went out and they got those puppies and they put them in the car and cared for them and wrapped them up. And they got some droppers and fed the puppies some water. And one of them just kissed the little puppies and loved the puppy and cared for it, and they took it back home, and they fed those little puppies at night. They took them to the vet the next morning, and the vet says, those aren't Chihuahua puppies. Those are river rats. Those women have been gargling and washing their hands every day for years, I would imagine. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Prairie chickens can't handle them. Look at the surprise here. Verse 12. Moreover, man does not know his time, and the fish, like fish caught in a treacherous net, and birds trapped in a snare. So the sons of man are ensnared at an evil time when it suddenly falls on them. In other words, suddenly they're surprised. I'm trapped. Suddenly I'm caught. They had no idea they were falling breadcrumbs. They had no idea a net was going to fall. That happens to us as prairie chickens. And then it flips over to a real event. Also, this I came to see as wisdom under the sun. And it impressed me. Verse 14, there was a small city with a few men in it, and a great king came to it, surrounded it, constructed large sage works against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, or a poor wise woman, as it was in history, and he delivered the city by his wisdom. Yet no one remembered the poor man. This is a true story, except it was a woman. Back in 2 Samuel chapter number 20, David sent out Joab to capture this guy named Sheba, who had betrayed him. And Sheba was hiding in this city, and all the troops surrounded the city. They began to build a sage work there to go over the wall. And finally, a wise lady in the city said, I want to see Joab. What's going on? And so the general came out, and she said, why are you attacking our city? And the general said, you're hiding Sheba there, the one who's betrayed King David. We've come to get him. She said, just wait a minute. She goes inside, has his head chopped off, throws his head over the wall, read it in the Bible, and Joab says, and all the troops dispersed, and the whole city was saved because one woman had some sense, used wisdom. Prairie chickens don't use wisdom. And so we see how then he comes to the conclusion. He says, wisdom is better than strength. Verse 18, but the wisdom of a poor man, this is someone who doesn't have a position, is despised and his words are not heeded. The words of wise heard in quietness are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons. Wisdom is better than weapons. Wisdom is better than strength. I heard about a young guy who was all muscled up. He was working there on the work site. He told all of his cohorts, he said, I'm stronger than anybody here. He said, I can lift more than anybody here. And the average guy said, well, let's just see about that. You want to put your money where your mouth is? He said, what do you propose? He said, I can put something in that wheelbarrow, and I can roll it to that wall about 50 yards away. And you can't roll that wheelbarrow back with that which I put in the wheelbarrow. The muscular guy said, hey, bring it on. Let's do it. What do you want to bet? A day's wage. He said, that's fine with me. And then the average size guy said, okay, I'll prove it. You get in the wheelbarrow. All chickens here miss that. Phew. But the point is, wisdom is better than strength. How many wars could have been avoided? How many conflicts could have been avoided if somebody would take a time out and speak quietly and back up and use wisdom? Solomon is talking about prairie chickens keep getting you in trouble, into silliness, into troubles, through neglect, and they miss so many things. And this, then he tells us what prairie chickens overlook. Look at the latter part of verse 18. But one sinner destroys much good. Anybody want to debate with that? You go to a group, and one idiot there can ruin the whole party, the whole gathering, the whole family reunion, a whole high school reunion. Man, so my point is, one sin can destroy somebody's life. I had a friend in Atlanta. He was an outstanding young man, great wife, kids. His wife one day told him that she'd had a brief affair with someone that they... This, then he tells us what prairie chickens overlook. Look at the latter part of verse 18. But one sinner destroys much good. Anybody want to debate with that? You go to a group, and one idiot there can ruin the whole party, the whole gathering, the whole family reunion, a whole high school reunion. Man, and so my point is, one sin can destroy somebody's life. I had a friend in Atlanta. He was an outstanding young man, great wife, kids. His wife one day told him that she'd had a brief affair with someone that they knew, and he just got up out of bed and got his shotgun and said, I'm going to go kill him. And his wife grabbed him and said, no, we can work it out. He put the shotgun down. But the next morning, his wife called the police, said she was frightened, and she was, told the kids, make a long story short, they were divorced, totally ruined. His employer fired him. He could not get a job. And years ago, his wife married the man she'd had a little affair with, and now they're divorced, and the whole family is messed up from top to bottom, and this guy has had a tough time having any kind of employment because of what? 5 minutes of acting like a prairie chicken in a crisis situation. It doesn't take long to mess up your life or to mess up my life, does it? Little things, a little sin. And then look what else a prairie chicken don't understand. Dead flies make a perfumer of oil stink, and a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor. A fly in the ointment. Ever heard that phrase? Boy, there's a fly in the ointment. Man, a little fly can make you question the whole thing you're eating. I remember the story, the guy who ordered soup, and there was a fly in his soup. He called the waiter over and says, what is that fly doing in my soup? And the waiter looked in and says, well, I think he's doing the backstroke. the bottom line is, a little fly in the ointment. One little sin.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. If you were to take a big bucket of water and punch your fist into it, it would make quite a splash. But after a while, the water becomes still again without showing any evidence that your fist had made impact. Sadly, that's the way a lot of people live their lives. They make a big splash, but leave nothing of lasting value. Your hand goes in and you pull it out and the water returns just where it was. Life shouldn't be like that. God didn't intend for your life and my life to be like that. You see, God has a plan for every person's life. He wants you to have a life of eternal significance, one that will have a lasting impact, even an eternal one. So today, make sure you stay close to Jesus Christ and walk in good works God has prepared for you. You will discover quickly that walking in God's path, in God's plan is, guess what? A winning walk.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you, and before you go, we want to remind you about the exciting $75,000 matching grant that will double your year-end gift today to help meet a vital $500,000 year-end need. Meeting this need in full will allow The Winning Walk to step into 2021 on a strong financial footing. And that means empowering more believers like you with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to have your gift doubled by the match and help share the proven truth of God's Word with more people in the year ahead. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being here today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young talks about the only thing that will bring real satisfaction. It's a powerful message you won't want to miss.